I'd like to ask you this morning to please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We'd like to read verses 31 through 34. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. This is toward the end of the life of Jesus here on this earth when he was about to be crucified. And Jesus is talking to Peter. And I want you to listen carefully to the words that Jesus spoke to Peter when he knew that Peter was about to deny Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to all the words that he spoke to him. I want you to think that if you had been Jesus and you knew that a man was going to deny you, deny knowing you, even curse and swear that he does not know you, I want you to think about the words that Jesus spoke to Peter. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34, the Word of God says, "And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Hear what he said he wants to do? "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed," listen to this now, "but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And I think Peter meant that right then. I think that he was as sincere as a human being could be. When he said, "I'm ready to go with you to prison, and I'm ready to die for you." Now later, he wasn't going to do any of that, but right here, I think he meant those words. Verse 34 says, "And he said," that is Jesus said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." I want us to think primarily this morning about that 31st verse where the Word of God says that the Lord said to Simon, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Now, when you think about someone being sifted as wheat, we don't do a lot of sifting of wheat today. So we might not fully understand exactly what that is talking about. But if we were to say that somebody was going to grind you to powder, that's basically the same kind of meaning here, going to grind you to powder. That's what Satan desired. That's what he says here. Satan hath desired to have you. You know, Satan wants you to go with him, doesn't he? Amen. Satan wants you and Satan wants me, just like Satan wanted Peter. Satan wants all of God's children. Satan hath desired to have you. Now, do you know what Satan will tell me when he wants me? He won't tell me he wants to grind me to powder. Satan will tell me, "You come go with me, we're going to have a good time." Satan is a liar. All of us understand that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is a deceiver. And Satan will cause you to feel that going with him is going to be a lot of fun. But we need to understand what the truth is and what Jesus said right here. Satan hath desired to have you, and the reason Satan wants you is to sift you as wheat, to grind you to powder. And then Jesus says, "But," and did you know Satan would destroy us if it weren't for Jesus? Jesus says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." You can go home and read the rest of this chapter and you'll read about Peter did deny Christ and cursed and denied knowing Christ. He denied, he even swore that he did not know Jesus. And And then later, Jesus, as the soldiers took Jesus, you remember how Jesus passed by Peter and looked on Peter, and Peter looked at him. And then the Word of God says that Peter went out and the Scripture says, wept bitterly. Brethren, I don't think there's anybody that's ever wept any more bitterly than Peter did right there. When Peter realized what he had done, and even when he was denying Christ, he knew what he was doing. And yet, because of the weakness of the flesh, and because of fear in Peter's life, Peter did deny Christ. But I want us just to concentrate this morning on the fact that Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, he can do it in temptations like he did right here. He can do it in a lot of different ways. There are times in our lives that Satan gets hold of us and it feels like Satan is going to destroy our lives. There are times that Satan begins to work in our lives and we feel like that our whole world is collapsing around us. And that's when Satan is trying to sift us as wheat. Satan desires and does from time to time. I believe there have been a number of times in my life and in your lives, I believe there have been many times that Satan has been in the process of sifting you as wheat. If you've ever been through some great difficult times in your life, you know that you've been almost ground to powder. That's when Satan has been sifting you as wheat. And I thank God that Jesus, just as he prayed for Peter, that Jesus has prayed for us, and that's the only reason that we haven't been destroyed and devoured in our lives is because of the prayers of Jesus. We'll talk later about that, Lord willing, but the main thing I want you to think about to begin with is how Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, do you remember that Jesus told Peter, now, after you are strengthened, and after you're converted, he says, I want you to go and strengthen your brethren. Now, here's the way that I believe Peter strengthened the brethren. I believe, first of all, that Peter let the brethren know that he had fallen and that he had denied Christ and he had to confess what a sinner he was. And I believe there's a strength that the brethren got from that. But I believe, secondly, the main way that Peter strengthened the brethren was that Peter made it clear to the people what Satan's purpose was. Peter knew. Now, you know, sometimes I think we think that the Word of God, I think that sometimes we believe that God just, and we know it's the Word of God, we know it's the inspired Word of God, but I think that sometimes we think that Peter, when he wrote these words, that he was just like a robot writing those words down. And I don't believe that's true about anybody that has helped record the Word of God. I do believe that God has moved in their hearts and that God has guided them and that every word is inspired by God. When God moved in their heart, it was inspired by God. But listen, brethren, Peter and every other writer of the Word of God, every other person that God used as holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, it was part of their feeling and part of their experience in life that was part of them writing those words down. And do you know when you read 1 and 2 Peter, you read about how Peter talks over and over again about the trials and the problems of life. Peter says that we're to cast all of our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Jesus cares for you. Did Jesus care for Peter? Even though Jesus knew what He was about to do, did Jesus still care for Peter? Does Jesus know what you have done to Him? And that's who we've done it to, brethren. We don't need to think that we've just done things wrong. We have done it to God. We have sinned against God, and we're not worthy to be called the sons of God. And the only reason that we are the sons of God, the only reason we're going to be in eternal heaven is because of the amazing grace of God. Now, Peter penned some words that I want us to think about right now, because these are strength to me and you. See, that's what Jesus said. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, I want you to listen to the words that Peter wrote down that I believe are the greatest words of strength that are a fulfillment of what Jesus told Peter to do. Go in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter Turn forward in your Bibles to the very toward the end of the Bible in 1 Peter. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want you to listen, please, to verses 8 and 9. Do you think we know more about God or more about the devil? Which one do you think we know more about, God or the devil? I think so. I think we know more about God than we do the devil. And we ought to know more about God than we do the devil. But at the same time, we ought not to be ignorant of the devil. It's important that we know about the devil. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints of God at Corinth, and he says that we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. You know, we ought to be able to just think about every... If I were to say, I want you to list 50 people and the ways the devil deceived and tempted and lied to those people, you ought to just be able to take the Word of God, take your pen and write down 50 people in the Word of God and how the devil worked in their lives. Why is it so important for me to know how the devil worked in the saints of God's lives in days gone by? Because the devil's the same today as he has always been. He's a liar, a murderer, and a deceiver. And the same way he has deceived the saints of God in days gone by, he's still working that same way today. He's no different. The devil is no different today. In 1 Peter chapter 5, here's what Peter wrote down now. As he's strengthening the brethren, he's writing down these things by experience. I don't think Peter could have written these words that he penned in 1 Peter chapter 5. I don't think he could have written these words with as much meaning and as much feeling as he did before he had denied Christ. It was after he denied Christ that he realized the power of the devil and how weak he was. Who was weak? Peter was weak. Did he think he was strong? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. In 1 Peter chapter 5, listen now to verses 8 and 9. The Word of God talks about what Peter wrote. He says, be sober. What does that word sober mean? It means to be serious-minded. Be sober. Be serious-minded. Be vigilant. For, because, your adversary... What's an adversary? An adversary is an enemy. He's our enemy. He's not neutral. He's our enemy. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. And I want you to remember those words because it's important. Peter wrote down words of truth right here. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Devour. What's his intent and purpose? He's going to and fro in the earth. He's walking up and down in the earth. But he is seeking whom he may devour. He is as a roaring lion. Now, do you know what Jesus calls us? We're lambs. We're sheep. What defense, what power does a lamb have against a roaring lion? The only defense we have is our great shepherd, true shepherd, Jesus Christ. And if you ever try to face the devil and all of his angels, if you ever try to fight the devil in your strength, you'll fail and you'll be devoured. But if you look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, if you lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help, you then will have power to trample Satan under your feet. But without God's help, you cannot defeat the devil. You can't even recognize the devil without God's help. So he says, be sober. Now, do you think Peter really was trying to emphasize that to me and you when he says, you be serious, you be sober, be vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. I just want you to think about those words. He's as a roaring lion walking to and fro. The Word of God says, walking to and fro, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to understand he wants to devour you. Let me just pause and ask this question. Can the devil devour you? Yes, he can. That's right. Now, by devouring you, we're not talking about literally eating you up. By devouring you, we're not talking about you dying and going to eternal hell. But we're talking about how the devil will come and destroy your life here in this world. Did you know my life and your life can become a shipwreck, can become destroyed? And it's the devil that intends and is trying to destroy your life and your home and your family and this church and our nation. And it's sad to say, but it's true. Our nation is being devoured by Satan today. And the only reason he's being devoured is because we don't recognize the works of the devil. The devil is powerful. He's destroying our nation. Can he destroy our nation? Can the devil destroy America? Yes, he can. Can he destroy this church? Can the devil destroy this church? Did you know, you read in the Word of God, just in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you read about the seven churches of Asia. None of those churches are around today. You know why they're not around? It's because that roaring lion, the devil, our adversary, he went to those churches and he devoured those churches. They're dead today. They're gone today. Why? Because the devil's alive and well and real. The devil is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, who can he devour? You know, that's important too. He's seeking whom he may devour. Did you know the church is important to me? It's important to me. I believe that if it weren't for the church, and I know that you can stand, I understand all that, but listen, I just don't think I could keep on without the church. I believe that God in His wisdom knows how weak we are, and we need the flock of God. We need the brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't tell me I've got to ever live in this world without the church. Is that de-emphasizing the importance of Jesus and us depending on Jesus? Not at all. It's Jesus that established the church. Jesus is the head of the church. There is no church without Jesus. So when we say we're thankful for the church, we're saying we're thankful for Jesus, but we're thankful for the body of Christ that makes up the church. So we're thankful for the head of the church, but we're thankful for the body of Christ. I thank God for those dear saints of God that in 1955 constituted the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church here in Waycross, Georgia. And that for years, when there weren't but a handful of people, they kept meeting and working and laboring. They knew the power of God. They knew the dependence upon God. They knew the danger of what? They knew the danger of the devil. They knew he's a roaring lion. They knew they needed to band together. They knew that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. They knew that they couldn't just go out here and join themselves to any other group of people that wasn't teaching the truth. They wanted a body of people that would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So they established the church on the truth of God's Word. The truth is important, brethren. Amen. Anybody that tells you the truth is not important, they don't understand the power of the devil. The devil will tell you it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. That's not true. That's the devil telling you that. It does matter what you believe. It's important that we know the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. The devil will try to get you to sell the truth. The devil will try to get you to sell out. The devil will try to get you to compromise on the truth. Don't you ever compromise, not one inch. He'll tell you it won't make that much difference just to compromise a little bit. You compromise a little bit, you're gone. He gets one foot in this door, in your heart, and he'll destroy. He'll devour you. He'll devour this church. He'll devour your family. He'll do anything he can. You know, I don't think there's any human being on this earth that's as mean, I can't think of a word really that's as mean as the devil. The devil desires. You know, a thief or a robber, they may come in and they may kill you, but they've got a purpose. They want something else, don't they? They're after gold or money or silver or something. But listen, the devil is not after your gold or your silver. All the devil cares about is just killing you, just devouring you. That's his goal. That's his intent. That's his purpose. He desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And that's what Peter writes down now. You better be sober, be vigilant, be careful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, who can he devour? You let me get away from the church, you know what's going to happen to me? I'll get devoured. I've watched saints of God all through my life, all through my ministry. I've watched them get away from the church, and they say they can do just as good outside the church as they can in, you'll never find a child of God that goes away from the church that the devil doesn't devour. Amen. The devil will devour his people, God's people. Why? Because we've got to stay close to each other. We need each other. I need y'all. Did you know it? I need you, and you need me, and we need each other. We need Jesus above everything else. Amen. But Jesus, in His wisdom, He knows our weakness. He says, you need each other. You know, the devil starts sneaking up behind me. Here I am, a little lamb. He starts sneaking up behind me. You know what you better do? You better go, back, back. Cry out. That's right. That's what God told all the saints of all the prophets of old. He says, when you see the sword coming, when you see the devil coming, He says, you better cry out, warning. That's one of the great blessings we have, is when one brother or sister begins to go astray, that we talk to each other, we communicate with each other, we let them know the devil's right behind you. That serpent, you know, who destroyed everything that started out good in this world, as God created the world and He created everything in 6 days, and when He finished His creation every day, at the end of every day He said, and it was good, and it was good, and then at the end of the 6 days, it was very good. And then the devil came along. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil came along, and the Word of God says the devil was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he came along in the form of a serpent, and he began to talk to Eve and say, has God said you can't eat of that fruit? And she says, yes, we can't eat of that fruit. We can't even touch it lest we die. And he said, thou shalt not surely die. Satan desired to have her, didn't he? Satan desired to have Adam, didn't he? And he devoured them. And they died that day, by the way, brethren. They didn't die a physical death. Did you know there are a lot of things worse than a physical death? There's a living hell here on this earth. And Adam and Eve were cast out of that Garden of Eden, which is a type of the kingdom of heaven that we can enjoy here in this world. And God's dear children can be cast out of the kingdom of heaven because of one thing. We yield to what? We yield to what? Satan. That's right. We yield to Satan. What did Jesus tell Peter? Satan hath desired to have you. He wants you. He wants you. Now, when you go through these troubles and problems in life, Sister Valerie and their family, you're going through some sifting right now, aren't you? Just hold fast. You know why? Jesus has prayed for you. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus prayed for you. He's already prayed for you. You know, when Jesus, in John chapter 17, the Lord prayed, Jesus prayed, and He said, I pray not for the world, but He said, I prayed for those that You've given Me out of the world. He said, I don't pray for these alone, those apostles, but He said, I pray for all them that will believe on Me through their name. You believe in Jesus this morning? Jesus has prayed for you. That's what He says there in John 17. John 17, 20, He says, I pray for all them that will believe on Me through Your word. I believe in Jesus. Jesus prayed for me. Isn't it wonderful, brethren, to know Jesus has prayed for you? Even Adam and Eve, did Jesus pray for them? You might say, well, He wasn't around. Oh, yes, He was. Yes, He was. He was back there before. He's the one that created them. Amen. And Jesus prayed for them. And the only reason they're not eternally lost is because Jesus prayed for Adam and Eve. Old Job. Hard to preach about sufferings and troubles without going to Job, isn't it? I don't ever get tired of reading about Job. Because it makes me feel good. It does. I was up all night last night with a horrible toothache, and it hurts. Oh, it hurts. The Bible talks about a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I know what it's talking about. I've had toothaches before, but I've never had one like this. It is horrible. I called my dentist this morning. I said, and I thought about this all night. I thought, Satan's desired to have you, they sift you as wheat. And every time that tooth go boom, kaboom, kaboom, and just pounding and hurting, and the whole side of my head hurts. And all I can think of is Satan's just trying to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. And I prayed, but I could feel Jesus praying for me too. And isn't it good when you face the troubles and problems of life that you can pray, but you know Jesus is praying for you too. And the Word of God says the Spirit maketh utterings and groanings that we ourselves are not able to make.
Amen.
And if He hadn't prayed for us, we'd all faint and fall by the wayside. Oh, this little toothache, it's nothing. It's nothing. You look at the sufferings of Jesus. You want to talk about suffering? I'll tell you, there's one that was sifted as wheat when you look at Jesus Christ and look at what He went through. That's the reason I hesitate to ever talk about my problems, because my problems are nothing, really. They're nothing. Even Sister Valerie's problem is nothing, you know it? And I don't mean that lightly. I mean, it's the most serious problem that I know of in the church right now. It's the most, you're number one on the prayer list right now. But I'm saying it's nothing, because all God has to do is just take care of you, and He will. He's going to take care of you and take care of all your family. He's going to bless you. Satan desires to have us all to sift us as wheat. Did Satan desire to have Job? Why did he want Job? Why did he desire to have Job? Let's back up. Let's just go there. Turn to the book of Job very quickly. Look at Job. I want you to look at Job chapter 1. Look at Job. Job chapter 1. Just a few minutes, please. Job chapter 1. You know, I thought a lot during the night. What about people that didn't have a dentist? You know, I got up this morning. All during the night, I thought, well, I hate to call my dentist in the middle of the night, but I wanted to. And I thought, if I didn't have a dentist, I think I would take something. I thought about taking a gun and just pulling my mouth back and just blowing that side of my those teeth out. Anything. And then I thought, well, I don't know whether that would hurt worse, or I don't know which one hurt worse. I don't think things could get any worse, but that's what that's hurting when you want to just blow it out, pull it out, do something, get rid of it. But I thought about all the generations that have gone by that didn't have doctors and nurses and anesthesia and all the things that we have today. How did they make it? I'll tell you, they made it the same way the saints of God are making it today. You know how they made it? They made it because they had somebody praying for them. You know who was praying for them? Jesus was praying. God was praying for them. That's right. I'm not ashamed to call Jesus God. That's who He is. He's God. God's praying for me. I have a great high priest that's touched with the feeling of my infirmities. Jesus knows. Some of you may have had a worse toothache. Brother Mike used to have bad toothaches. And I thought about you a lot during the night. I thought, good gracious, whoo, old toothaches are bad. But listen, brethren, Jesus is our great high priest. No matter what your problem, this building is full of people, and did you know everybody in this building has different problems? Did you know that? We don't know but about probably 2% of the problems in this building. Did you know that? There's some serious problems in this building that none of you know about. There's some serious problems that most of you don't know about. There's other serious problems that a lot of you know about. But there's serious problems. When you've got people, you've got people with problems. You know why you have people with problems? Because the devil is going around doing everything he can to inflict pain. In Job chapter 1, I tell you, for the sake of time, I want you to read the whole first chapter of Job and the second chapter, but I want to come down to Job 1 verse 7. Job 1 verse 7. Job 1 verse 7, the Word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Satan." Does God ever talk to the devil? The Lord said, God said to Satan, the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou? Where have you been?" Now I want you to listen to it. Do you remember what Peter said over there? Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may," what? "Devour." Now, here's what Satan says when God says, "Where have you been?" He said, "Whence comest thou?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." Boy, that sounds pretty non-threatening, doesn't it? You hear what Satan's reply was? Oh, I'm just... what do you picture there when Satan said, "I'm just going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it"? What do you picture? Do you picture anything dangerous? I don't picture anything dangerous. He's just walking around, you know, just kind of going sightseeing, just walking around. He doesn't say he's out there as a roaring lion, does he? He doesn't say he's out there trying to devour people. He said, I'm just walking around out there in the world. And then God knew. God said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, I've considered him, but you've got a hedge around him. Now, you know the only reason the devil ever gets an opportunity to sift me and you like wheat? Brother Roger Walker went through a lot with his... He was working with his uncle trying to help Brother Bobby, who had had surgery, and then his daddy had a heart attack, and it just kind of... And work problems and everything just boom, boom, just pile up. Well, if it hadn't been for Jesus there, he wouldn't have made it. If it wasn't for Jesus, you and I wouldn't make it. Not today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. We wouldn't make it. Thank the Lord for Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Jesus has a hedge around me. Did you know that? Jesus has a hedge around you. You might say, well, then you shouldn't have that toothache. Toothache. Listen, the only reason I have a toothache is because God let the devil give me this toothache. Do you understand that? All God did was just pull that hedge in a little bit. God can move the hedge. Did you know that? Now, he'll never totally remove the hedge. Did you know that? He'll pull it in. He'll pull it in. He'll pull it in. He'll pull it in. He'll let Satan destroy some of this stuff out here. But there's part of me that the devil can never touch. There's part of me that's secure. Jesus says, I'm in his hand and I'm in the Father's hand. He's got a hedge around me and my soul. Body, soul, and spirit has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the devil can never send me to hell. I'm not afraid to tell you that. The devil cannot send me to hell. Amen. Eternal hell. Eternal hell. If I yield to the devil, I'll experience some hell in this earth. But the devil cannot destroy me eternally. He cannot. Because I'm so strong? No, sir. Not because I'm strong. It's because Jesus is going to keep me. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm preserved in Christ Jesus. He says you've got a hedge around him. He said, you remove that hedge and he'll curse you and die. And so God said, okay, you can take all his possessions. And Job lost all of his, and he was a rich man, richer than anybody in this building. He was a rich man. And the devil took it all away. You know what the devil, you think the devil was happy to take it all away from him? Oh, he was happy. Did he want it for himself? Did the devil want it for himself? No, all he wanted to do was just take it away from Job. That's all he cares about. And then he took away his 10 children. Now, brethren, that hurt worse. One of those children being dead was worse than losing everything else he lost. But he lost all 10 of those precious, precious children. They all died. In one day, he lost all of his possessions and all 10 of his children. Now, you know who was the only one that was really rejoicing that day? Satan, the devil, was rejoicing, happy. Now I want you to listen to chapter 2, verse 1. Of course, don't forget what Job said. What did Job say? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 2 now. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Do you know the devil's in this building today? The devil's here. The devil's here. The saints of God, every time they come together, the devil's there. That's the reason it's so hard for you to concentrate on. Have any of you ever noticed that it's hard to concentrate in church? Have any of you ever noticed that your mind wanders in church? You know why it wanders? It's because the devil is putting all these other thoughts in your heart and mind. Satan came to present himself. Now listen, the Lord said unto Satan, verse 2, this is Job 2, verse 2, we'll close right here. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Had he asked him that question earlier? Job 1:7, now the second time he says, and from whence comest thou? Now what had the devil been doing? Had the devil been busy in Job's life? Been very busy. The Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. You hear what he says? Same. That lying rascal. He hadn't just been walking around. He hadn't just been walking to and fro and walking up and down. He had been out there doing everything he could to get Job to deny Christ, to deny God, to curse God. You know why Job didn't curse God? You know why Job's faith didn't fail? It's because Jesus prayed for him. And then, you know what God then did? God tightened that hedge a little more, didn't He? Did He tighten it up? And then the next thing that happened was boils from the crown of His head to the sole of His feet. He suffered. Satan, listen carefully. Every one of you listen carefully. Little children, Satan desires to have you. Let me just share in closing. Let me mention something that's pretty. Yesterday, we had five of our grandchildren at the house. Of course, everybody... Well, anyway. Bryson and Bryce were sitting next to each other. They were all sitting around the table eating. And Bryson and Bryce were sitting next to each other. And Bryson said to Bryce, he said, "Do you want to go up to heaven when you die, or do you want to go down to hell?" He said, "Up there's good, down there's bad." He said, "Did you know down there's a lake of fire?" And then he said, "Do you remember what the next thing was, Teresa?" I don't remember everything, but he said, one the main thing I wanted to get to was, he said, "Did you know he said I know somebody's going to hell." He said, "I know somebody's going to hell." I wanted to hear the whole conversation, so we weren't interfering. We were just listening, but our ears really got tuned in when he said he knew somebody was going to hell. And he said, and Bryce was just sitting there, his eyes just listening. Bryce didn't ever say a word, just listen. And Bryson said, "The devil's going to go to hell." That's a good day, you know it? When God finally confines and sends that devil to eternal hell. All the suffering he's brought on God's people, he said, "The devil's going to go to hell." And then he said this. Here's the prettiest part to me. Bryson said, "When the devil tries to get me to do what's wrong, you know what I do?" He said, "I start singing like this, Bryce. Jesus love." He just started singing just as loud. And he said, "Just sing real loud and the devil gets away from you." Woo, that was good. Man. So when the devil's got you down, you do what Bryson said. You do what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He won't stay flee, but he will flee for a little while. May God help us to thank Jesus for praying for us. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.